Hi, listener. Welcome back to another episode of A Real Page Turner with Donnie Granza and Mara Maros. Hi, Donnie.
Hello, Mara.
So we are officially kicking into the holiday season with a new episode of Mrs. Miracle by Debbie McComber, which was written in 1996. And Debbie McComber is a staple of the Christmas holiday movie. She has written many, many books, 13 of them so far, or probably more, reaching the number one charts, number one on the New York Times list. And many have been hit movies on the Hallmark Channel when, you know, some of them have transitioned to the Great American Family Channel. You probably can't get through the holiday season without finding one of her movies on one of those channels.
Yeah, there's quite a few. Last year during the season, we actually did another one of her books was Dashing Through the Snow. We did a very popular episode. So yeah, this is a pretty interesting one. This is Miracle. It came out in 2009 on the Hallmark Channel. It was directed by Michael Scott, not from The Office, a different Michael Scott, and written by David Golden. And it stars James Vanderbeek as kind of a very stressed out father of two twin boys. And in the titular role of Mrs. Miracle is the late, great Doris Roberts.
Yes. And I love Doris Roberts, and she is great in this movie. And we should add that James Vanderbeek's character is a widower, which is kind of the crux of the story, is how he's managing his two children. And he has gone through many housekeepers / nannies, because they are a handful, until Mrs. Miracle, the kids call her Miracle, comes along, kind of whips up her magic to help him in his love life and with the kids.
Yeah, definitely very interesting. Right from the start, you see that the boys, he has twin boys named Judd and Jason, and they are, you know, pretty much a handful. Like you see, there's at the beginning of the movie, there's a montage of housekeepers who are like at their wits' end and leave in a huff, and they're doing all these little pranks and stuff. And, you know, and they're, you know, quite frankly, they're brats. They're really like awful brats.
But they're harmless. They're funny.
Yeah. But I think it kind of shows have some character development. So you could see Mrs. Merkel or Miracle and how she's able to get through to them and help them behave.
Yep. And his love interest, Reba Maxwell, is played by Erin Karplick. And I really liked her in this movie. She was really cute. I liked her. And I think that there's a lot of subplots happening in both, you know, like the movie, you have the subplot of Reba's feuding with her sister Vicky over, her stealing her ex-fiance that she's never forgiven her for 4 years ago. And you also have the subplot of is that the only other subplot in the movie? Because the book has quite a few. Well, I mean, you have the subplot that they have to play the piano and there's the Christmas pageant. But there's lots more, I think, a few other subplots in the book.
There's one major subplot that just got eliminated entirely for the movie. If you want to talk a little about the in-laws.
Yeah. So the in-laws of James Vanderbeek's character, whose name is Seth. I keep wanting to call him Scott, but it's Seth. His in-laws and his wife was killed in a car accident when the children were little, and they helped raise the boys for a few years. But they have now, the father has them back, and they are kind of struggling and talking about getting a divorce. So that subplot is going on, as well as the sister fighting, Reba and Vicky. And then there's the other one. I don't think they dwell too much on it in the movie, is the aunt of one of the characters, the nosy aunt, who wants to talk about all the neighbors' digressions, because religion in the church is much more prominent in the book and really not the case in the movie.
Yeah. Like I wouldn't call the movie like secular or like anything like that, but that was a very big surprise, is like how much reading the book, like how much, you know, religion is at the center of this. And it's a little Definitely an interesting, you know, change of pace. And it's, and I guess maybe like more suited it for like the Hallmark audience. Cause, you know, even though Hallmark is known for having like more wholesome entertainment and that, it's not as like overtly religious some of those movies. Like, I'm admittedly a big fan of the Hallmark Christmas movies and watch them all through the season.
Yeah.
And I, you know, so I notice a lot of like common themes. And yeah, they'll have parts of, you know, where people go to church or maybe sing like a religious Christmas song or something, but not as overtly, you know. And
what I really did like in the book is the structure of the quote by Mrs. Miracle at the top of every chapter. And I'd love to know if these are actual quotes from somewhere. But my favorite is God wants spiritual fruit, not religious nuts, which I just thought was hilarious. And I thought like the quote at the beginning of every chapter, I just thought was really funny. And some of them you're like, huh, that makes a lot of sense. I thought that was like a great part of the book. And it was an easy read. Like this isn't this, and I think it's a good switch for us because we have done so many difficult heavy reads in the last few weeks that this was like a welcome change and super easy to read.
Yeah, I agree. And I wanted to mention, I'm glad you mentioned that about the quotes. Like it was they were really great. Like they were funny and witty and that. I know the one that stuck out, it was some you know, speaking of sticking out, there was one, it was like a turn, you know, something about a turtle can't move unless it sticks its neck out.
Yeah, yes. I thought that was really funny.
Yeah. I was like, oh. Yeah, so it was a nice little
I thought they were really, I really liked that aspect of it. But yeah, I mean, the movie was cute. It's good, right? Like, I mean, it keeps you kind of going and entertained and, you know, kind of just interested.
Yeah, it's funny and it's a nice story and just, you know, a nice, like, easy watch. And it's a pretty, and I did, you know, I just say, like, I did normally, you know, not a surprise that I did kind of prefer the movie to the book. You know, the book was a good read and I, you know, nice, you know, mostly easy read, but I didn't really like a lot of the subplots. Like you mentioned, the subplots. Plot of Seth's in-laws and going through their marital issues, and I think that was the right choice to eliminate that completely for the movie because the characters aren't in it at all, those ones. And you know, I found myself kind of bored with that because I remember thinking it's like, okay, yeah, they're going through marital problems and that, but I was like, they're probably gonna wind up staying together in the end, like it's very predictable. And I just found myself kind of bored with it. Like I'd get to a chapter and they start talking about it. And I was like, oh, you know, I was like, oh, I'm kind of bored. So I think that was the right call. To eliminate that. And I think, as I mentioned, I've seen many Hallmark movies, is you do notice there aren't a lot of Hallmark movies with a lot of subplots. There's typically like a main plot, maybe like some small little subplots here and there, but it's not like you have all these stories going, you know, on and on at that.
Yeah. And I agree with you about taking the parents, the in-laws out of the movie, because, you know, you'd have to give a lot of backstory on that. Like, why are they there? Why are they having a disagreement? The daughter died. They took the kids. Like, that's a lot of backstory to go through. And in reality, there was really never any conflict between the son-in-law and them. So there's no main conflict between them to drag them into it. Like, and I think in the book, like, it does a part to say, look at all these things that Mrs. Miracle has resolved, right? Because she resolves that. She kind of works her magic there. But you don't really need that because you have the two conflicts in the movie. You know, you have the conflict with him and playing the piano and getting the kids to behave, and the conflict of Reba and her sister, which resolves with Seth and Reba getting together, which we all know is the main goal of the story and ending.
Yes.
So, you know, I could see why they did take the parents out. Now, I enjoyed that storyline. I kind of thought that was amusing, you know, that piece of it, especially the husband, have, you know, the wife thinks that his favorite cookies are chocolate chip with walnuts. And he's like, I hate walnuts. And she's been cooking them for 40 years. So I thought that was like funny. But, you know, I did like the book, but, you know, it was good. It's you know, an easy read, but the movie is obviously very easy to watch. And, you know, if you're not into kind of the religious kind of slant on things that's in the book, then the movie is definitely for you because it kind of takes that whole aspect out of it. And it's really then just a mushy kind of love story, right? Yeah. Where everybody gets what they want.
Yeah. And that, and with, you mentioned the religious slant, that's one thing that, like, it was a minor difference is that the Christmas pageant, you know, in the book was at the church, and whereas it was at like a youth center or something at the
it was at the school.
It was a school.
Okay. It was like an after school play.
Yeah. Or and so that was a little so that was like a minor, which obviously, like, that would be a change with, you know, in the book it made sense with, you know, such an emphasis on religion and the church that to have it at the church, and it would have been out of place in the movie. That's what they changed it there. There was one thing, there was one part I could kind of relate to with the kids that reminded me of my childhood, where the boys were dressed as angels, and I think Mrs. Miracle gives them they get like swords or something.
Yeah.
And it is like, it's kind of silly in the pageant where they start like fighting with the swords in the middle of the play or something, and it reminded me of my childhood where we was in a Christmas play, like a Christmas show at my church, where I had to play an angel, and I didn't like being an angel. I told my mother, I don't want to be an angel. I want to be a devil. So when I saw that, that kind of reminded me of that story. And I know my mom will listen to this, and she'll finally remember that story we talk about all the time in my family. So hi, Mom. You get a little shout out. So.
Yeah. And that was a cute part too, right? Like the boys were cute with their swords. Yeah. And, you know, that played very, very true to each. The only other minor difference is, and it always surprises me when someone makes such a minor difference that doesn't really mean anything, is that in the book, Seth, James Vanderbeek's character, was an engineer. And in the movie, he's an architect. And neither of them, his profession means nothing in either of them, other than he's very busy. Yeah. And that always strikes me as funny. And maybe it's because, and I don't know, maybe it's because people don't always know what an engineer does. And they might be like, what does he do as an engineer? But an architect, you're like, oh, I get what an architect does. So maybe it's just for the sake of the audience, you know.
Yeah.
That so they know exactly kind of, it's an easy to understand profession for the most part.
Yeah, I was going to say the exact same thing. Because engineers, you know, kind of like more of a broad category. Like there's many different kinds of engineers, and I wouldn't know, even if I sat down with an engineer and asked about their job and they explained it to me, I probably would still be confused. But an architect, you know, where it's like not saying like, oh, that's easy or whatever, but I do have, like, I can picture an architect in my head. Like an engineer, like, I don't know, that just seemed like architects a little easier to identify there.
Yeah, that's probably why they did that. Yeah. I just always think it's funny that they, you know, make that kind of minor change.
Yeah. And one thing that I noticed in the book was a little more risque, which sounds like a little like, it sounds like kind of like an oxymoron with it being like so religious or something. But yeah, it was a little more risque. Like I remember like right in the beginning of the book, like one of the they curse or something. I think like one of the nannies who quits, and you know, says it's like, oh, you look cousin like you little shits or something. And I was like, okay, well obviously that's not gonna be in a Hallmark movie. And then later on there's a scene with Seth and Reba getting kind of intimate a little or that, and kind of, you know, it's not pornographic or anything, but it does show them kind of getting intimate. And that was again something was going to be cut for the Hallmark audience.
What I did really like that they did in the movie was show in the beginning all of the housekeepers, nannies leaving the front door just one after the another with, and why, like the kids scaring them in the closet, throwing snowballs at them. Like I really like the way they showed that progression in the movie, because, yeah, you know, you see it, you read it in the book, but I thought they showed it really well. Like, I thought that was really funny. Like, those kids just antagonizing those nannies. Mm-hmm. And then definitely. Mrs. Miracle coming and catching the snowballs and causing, like, you know, all the snow to fall off on the roof on the boys, which I thought was really funny and cute. I liked the way they did that in the movie a lot.
And it kind of goes to show with the character development how the boys mature and, you know, turn around their behavior, and how Mrs. Miracle can, you know, perform a miracle and help them learn and improve. So he definitely, like, it showed them, like, how bad they were to the end and how they improved. So, yeah. But overall, like, I know I did prefer the movie, but I did like the book. Like you mentioned, it was a nice, easy read. Definitely good for the holiday season. So,
yeah, I agree. I really liked a lot of the movie is really cute. And I think anybody can sit down and watch it and enjoy it. And, you know, great little Christmas film. And if you are so inclined to read a book that, you know, doesn't take a lot of thinking, but just is amusing and get some good quotes at the beginning of each chapter. After, then go ahead.
I did like the performances. Like Doris Roberts was always good in everything she did. And even though I'm not the biggest Everybody Loves Raymond fan, it's not one of my favorite shows. And, you know, she was like a legend and had, you know, so many great roles. And, you know, obviously.
Well, I am the biggest fan of Everybody Loves Raymond. I loved her.
Something else we disagree on.
Right? I am one of the biggest fans of Everybody Loves Raymond, but I love Doris Roberts. And I thought she was great. I think James Vanderbeek was great. I mean, sometimes, and this is not a fault of James Vanderbeek, but I think the leads in those movies on Hallmark or The Great American Family and whatever they're, you know, on can come across a little schmaltzy. Right. And I don't think he did. Like, I liked him.
Yeah.
I liked the lady, Erin Karplick, who played Reba Maxwell. Like, I liked her. Like, I thought they were very, very good.
Yeah. I liked them both.
You know, because sometimes you're like, ugh. So drippy, but I didn't think he was. I didn't think James Vanderbeek was.
No. Yeah. James. I did like him. I did like him. Now I didn't grow up. I didn't really watch Dawson's Creek or something, but I did watch a show. He was on a short lived sitcom, like Don't Trust the Bee in Apartment 23 that, you know, I think got canceled after two or three seasons. And I thought was very funny, where he plays a fictionalized version of himself. And he's just hysterical in that role. So if you ever, you know, find it somewhere, that's a funny show. But he did very well. Yeah, it was a good, nice
watch. I mean, I don't have much other to say because they were both enjoyable. There was very small, you know, small differences here and there, but nothing that's going to make or break it, because and again, your expectations when you're watching a Hallmark movie are not what they are when you're watching, you know, something that's you know, and there's no major changes. Yeah, there's subplots gone, but it's stuff you can live with.
And I will mention, I forgot to mention, there were other ones. There is another, there's a couple more Mrs. Miracle movies released the following year. There's Call Me Mrs. Miracle, also starring Doris Roberts. And then obviously after her death in 2016, it did come back with last year on the Hallmark Channel. I was a Mrs. Miracle Christmas with Caroline Ray of Sabrina the Teenage Witch fame took over the role in the one last year on the Hallmark Channel. So.
So you can watch the Mrs. Miracle trilogy.
Yes, the trilogy.
To get your holiday fix. Great. Do you have anything else?
No, I think that's about covers. No, you know.
Me neither. So listener, you know, put out your decorations for whichever holiday you celebrate and throw on the TV and look for Mrs. Miracle.
Yeah, go.
Great. Well, thanks, listener. And until next week, keep reading.
And keep watching.